Hey everybody, welcome back to part two of my quarter one 2024 review. Hope you enjoyed the first episode, and with that I will jump right into the second part. So we'll start with a quote, which is, "The best way to tap into the world is to tap into yourself." This quote by Rick Rubin holds so much wisdom that I think many of us misunderstand because it seems so counterintuitive. How are you going to understand the world, which lies outside of you, if you turn inward, away from the world? When you turn inward to understand yourself, you see the human particularities, in essence, which we all share. We all have a very personal, subjective experience of the world, and it is through a unique lens that we all interact with the world. Given how much diversity there is in the world, your very personal experiences are highly likely to be relatable to others, even if they feel so uniquely yours. Putting language to these very personal experiences both connect us to others and open others' eyes to the unique lenses through which others see the world. Sure, what makes you angry, joyful, excited, nervous, and peaceful may not generalize to most, but the experience of joy, anger, excitement, nervousness, and peace do generalize. These are fundamental experiences of life for all of us. Exploring how that feels more deeply gives us a much more rich understanding of what others experience in their lives. Some positions in life are just qualitatively different. Marriage, parenthood, grandparenthood, the death of a parent, the death of a significant other, surviving a terminal illness like cancer. There are some experiences in life that we cannot fully understand without living them ourselves. These experiences, because they are so significant and unique, can place people into distinct categories of life experience. Of course, the amount of variation within each category is undoubtedly greater than the amount of variation between them. But the fact does not change the reality of these categories and how they shape the people who comprise them. People in each of these categories of experience tend to occupy their attention with certain things which people outside the category do not, and that attention forms the way they perceive the world. It's fundamentally important for us to acknowledge and respect that. I say all this as someone who fought incessantly with his parents about this, arguing it didn't matter that I wasn't a parent or married to understand what it was like to be them, and to recommend what might be better to do in their place. As I did then, I still think we should listen to the perspectives of others who are not members of our unique categories. However, in addition to this, I believe we should do so mindfully, and we should be particularly mindful providing advice and perspectives to others who are in qualitatively different positions from ourselves. TV is a choice that distracts me from what really matters in most cases. I've never had a good relationship with screens, whether it be a computer, a phone, or a TV screen. I've always struggled with managing my attention when there is a screen turned on in my vicinity. My eyes are so easily drawn toward the lights, sounds, and movements on the screen. When my attention is caught, I am pulled in like a salmon on a hook, totally immersed in squabbling, wishing to be out of the conundrum in which I found myself. Even when I know what is on the screen is not providing me with something valuable and that it's worsening my attention span, it's difficult for me to use that recognition as fuel for my escape. Those two things that screens damage within me mean so much to me in my experience. Taking in valuable information and providing and improving the quality of my attention are activities that have brought so much good to my life. The improvements I've made in these areas make the relative worsening of them due to screen time, a bit agonizing for me. I feel a heavy pressure on my shoulders that pushes me toward information and attention of the highest quality, and that pressure is left far from satisfied by what I see on a TV screen. These conflicting forces have created quite a challenging experience for me, as it's not particularly easy to find others, especially those in my age range, who share these feelings about TV and screens. Commit to excellence and hold a high bar, but avoid putting too much pressure on yourself to the point where your drive to toward that commitment diminishes. This is yet another area of life in which there's a delicate balance to be struck. Striving to be our best and holding ourselves accountable to that allows us to get closer to becoming the best versions of ourselves. Without a high bar, we lack a driver that propels us up toward excellence. The pursuit of that high bar is strenuous. It demands a lot of us, much more than aimlessly drifting along. That high level of demand can be exhausting, which can lead some to burnout and a complete desertion of the high bar they were striving for in the first place. Burnout can feel helpless, as we can have the perception that we're doing so much to get nothing in return. In the short term, we are unlikely to get the big returns we're hoping for, which undoubtedly can be frustrating. That's why it's so important to take care of our motivation and commitment to excellence along the way. Big returns come over the long term after consistently putting in the work and approaches the high bar. Overinvesting at certain points along the way can backfire if they lead us to being too drained to keep the bar high. Learning to balance well, prioritize, and make strategic choices at those points is fundamental to being able to maintain that commitment to a high bar over a long period of time. That balance starts with creating space to monitor yourself and your energy levels. It doesn't need to be 100% every time. Maintaining 80% steadily, instead of pushing to 100% two times out of three to end up with the other being a zero, is much better. In addition to being better in the aggregate, showing up every time makes it so much easier to show up again the next time, and then the next time, and the next time, etc. Coming back from a zero can be exhausting in itself, as you can be left thinking it's unacceptable if the next one isn't a 100% to compensate for the zero. And with that, we'll pause for today. Thanks for listening to this second part of my quarter one review. I will be back next time with part three and in the subsequent episodes with many more. So hope you enjoyed this and found the lessons I'm sharing to be valuable. As always, much love. In the meantime, take care. Cheers.